Well, returning to our book of Hebrews chapter 3, if you have your Bibles, as we continue our study through the Bible, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. And chapter 3, let me just kind of go back a little bit and review, because in chapter 3, we are now moving into the third argument on the superiority of Christ, how Christ is superior to Moses, superior to angels. And what's really amazing here is that when you begin to look at the Word of God and study the Word of God, you begin to see that in chapter 3, Christ is greater in his office than Moses. That Moses was a great man of God in the Old Testament. He gave us the law of God as it was communicated to him. But at the same time, Christ becomes greater than him. And then in chapter 3, verses 3 to 6, we see that Christ is greater in his own ministry than Moses, because Christ is the Son and the Savior of the world. And then when you come to chapter 3, beginning with verse 7, where we left off now, we'll pick it up. We now come to where Christ is superior than angels and than Moses. And as you begin to see chapter 3, we see that Christ here is greater in the rest that he gives to every person that he comes in contact with. And what we see here is that God speaks in chapter 1 as God himself. In chapter 2, we see Jesus as the Son of God. And in chapter 3, we now see him exhorting as he becomes now the voice of the Holy Spirit. We see the Father, we see the Son, we see the Holy Spirit. And then we see the Holy Spirit here warning, as Paul now is going to take you back into the Old Testament. And the reason he takes you back to the Old Testament, the time of Moses, when the children of Israel had come out of Egypt, as they began their journey through the wilderness area, you know, God had given to them everything and God had a plan for their lives. It was only from Egypt to the promised land 11 days by walking to get there. But because of their rebellious heart and because of their unbelief, it took them 40 years. And in 40 years of wandering through the wilderness, by the time they got to the end of the wilderness, only those that were literally 18 years old and under were kept alive, and everybody else died in the wilderness because of unbelief. Because they did not believe the promises of God that God had given to them. How God would lead, how God would provide, how God would become everything to them. Remember that when Moses came out of Egypt and they were heading toward the promised land, and the first thing that happened is they came to that Red Sea, or the Sea of Reeds. And when they got to the end of the Sea of Reeds, there they are, and there's an Egyptian army following behind the 3 million people that are going across into the Dead Sea. And Moses gets to the ends of the water. He looks to the right and there's mountains, looks to the left, more mountains. And all of a sudden in front of him is the Red Sea full of water, and nothing has happened. And God begins to speak to Moses and says, Moses, why are you looking to the left? Why are you looking to the right? Why don't you look up? That's where you'll find me. And many times we can learn lessons from the Old Testament, as so many times, how many times we've come into a place like the Red Sea where we are in trouble and we're going through a lot of things in our lives and everything's caving in. And the enemy's just about to take me down. And God says, don't look to the right, don't look to the left, but look up, and I will get you across. And what happened? As Moses looked up to God, God spoke to him and said, what's that in your hand? And it was actually a staff. He said, I want you to take the staff, and I want you to touch the waters. And when he did that, remember, you saw the Ten Commandments. We all saw it. The waters began to heap up, and what happened? They all walked across on dry ground. Can you imagine the aquarium on both sides as they're walking across the Red Sea? And then all of a sudden, as they're walking across the Red Sea, Moses gets to the other side, and you have 3 million people coming across, and behind them is the Egyptian army, and Pharaoh is coming with chariots and swords and spears, and wants to kill the people. And as soon as the last person steps into the other side, the Lord says to Moses, Moses, take that staff and touch the waters once again. The Egyptian army that you see today, you will never see ever again. And remember what happened? The waters came down and caved in and took down the Egyptian army. Just as God's word had said and continues to say to each one of us. So now hear God as he takes them onto the other side. 11-day journey. They already have seen the power and the hand of God against the Egyptians as they drowned in the Red Sea or the Sea of Reeds. And as soon as they start walking into the wilderness area, the first thing that happens is they begin to murmur and to complain and to begin to say to Moses, "Moses, we were better off in Egypt than being here in the wilderness. You brought us here to kill us." Imagine that. After seeing such an incredible miracle of God. How many times does that remind us of ourselves in our own personal lives? If you've been a Christian for a while now, you know that the Bible is real. And as you read the Bible, and as you pray, and as God does things in your life, and as you fall into temptations, and you fall into times of defeat, and you're tempted, and you're bummed out. I mean, how many times has God truly failed you and me in our lives? And I would say not one time, but I have failed him many times. Many times I have failed him. He's so gracious, he's so loving, he's so kind. And yet, God loved the people so much, but Moses became a little bit irritated with the people. Remember, Moses was in Egypt for 40 years, serving the king of Egypt, Pharaoh, and he was born there among the Pharaohs. He was a somebody. And then one day when actually here, Moses is 40 years of age, and he watches two of his brothers that are Jews kind of struggling with each other. All of a sudden he says to them, "Hey, you should not fight your brothers." And they turned to him and said, "Hey, we saw what you did yesterday. How you took and you killed that Egyptian and you hit him in the sand." And he said, "Whoa, you know about that?" And he became fearful, and that's when Moses began to run away. But God allowed that to happen. It's God allows things in our lives so actually he could run and get away and go to the wilderness area for the next 40 years of his life, where God would take him to the house of Jethro, and there he would be taking care of sheep, and he would become a shepherd. And as he would begin to take care of sheep, if you know anything about sheep, they're pretty dumb. They have to be led. You know, if a sheep is down, he does, and he's been eating, and then he lays down, he becomes a prey for the wolf, and he will not get up because he's too heavy to get up. So the shepherd comes along and picks him up as his legs begins to rub his legs and puts him over his shoulder and takes him to safety. But here we see Moses as he's taking care of a bunch of sheep, and while he's there taking care of sheep, what happens? God appears to him in a burning bush and begins to speak to him. And begins to give him his commission. The first thing he says to him, "Moses, where you're standing is holy ground. Take off your feet. Take off your shoes." And when he, take off his feet, yeah. Take off his shoes. Take off his sandals. And as Moses steps up, you know, to the plate, and he's sitting there, takes off his sandals, and comes up to the burning bush, then all of a sudden the presence of God lights up, and what happens to Moses? He gets on his knees, and he begins to hear the voice of God, and he says, "Moses, you're going to go back to Egypt." "What? You're going back to Egypt. And you're going to take my people out of Egypt, and you're going to speak to Pharaoh." And then he says, "What? I can't speak. I never took speech 1A. And he says, "It's not who you are, but I'm going to speak through you, Moses." And we began to see that now for the second 40 years of his life, as he was somebody the first 40 years, the second 40 years of his life, he became a nobody. God had to strip him from everything so that he could become the man that God intended to use, just like us here. Things that you're facing today, things that you're going through today, is because God wants to make you his man, his woman. Not a man or woman of this world, but the world to come. So that we're going to be ruling and reigning in the kingdom to come. This world's going to pass away. And as Moses was elected by God and went back to Egypt to take the people of God out, and as Pharaoh's stubborn in his heart, remember he hardened his heart? 10 times, and the 10th time, the first one were killed, and then finally he let them go, and that's when he began to pursue after them into the Sea of Reeds. But when they got to the other side, an 11-day journey turned out to be 40 years as God would clean house. They went from here, Egypt, and they went across the Red Sea, and they went down like this, and they did a circle this way, and they came to the actual mountains of Moab. 40 years to travel when it could have been only an 11-day journey. You know why, God? God was cleaning house. God got rid of every person with unbelief. Every person that did not have faith. They all died in the wilderness. And the only ones that were able to cross to the other side was Caleb and Joshua, the leaders, and those that were 18 years old or 20 years old and under. And the rest of the people died in the wilderness. They never saw the promised land. Remember that Moses, when they got to the other side of Moab, the people, this is the second time they become thirsty. And they're really murmuring and complaining. And Moses gets upset. And he actually goes to God and says, God, your people are murmuring and complaining. They want more water. And God said to them, give them water, just like the last time. And he came out, and when he saw the people, he became angered. And he said, you rebels, you want water? I'll give you water. He took the staff in his hand, and he beat the rock once. He beat the rock twice, and the water came out. And God said in a small voice, Moses, step into my office. I need to talk to you again. How many times has God talked to you like that? Now, Moses, did you listen to what I said? Did I say beat the rock to death? Or did I say speak to the rock? What do you mean, God? Well, you see, Moses, the rock represents me. I'm the rock of your salvation. And I want you to know, by you beating the rock, you have misrepresented me before the people as an angry God when I was never angry with the people. Now let's stop there for a second. Because how many times you and I misrepresent God in our lives to the world? Think for that a little while. Misrepresenting God. And what did God say to Moses? Moses, you cannot go to the other side of the land. You're going to die on this side. And I'm going to bury you. Oh yeah, we see Moses on the other side in Matthew 17 with Elisha. Remember in the Mount of Transfiguration when they went up? But he couldn't cross with the people. He had to die on the other side. He's the only one that God buried in the other side, Moses, the prophet of God. And think in your own personal lives. As God speaks to you, and here in the book of Hebrews, in chapter 3, verse 7 through 19, we see that Christ becomes greater in the rest that he gives to each one of us individually, and yet the people had unbelief. Look what it says, beginning with verse 7. Here's an exhortation. He says, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says today, if you will hear his voice, you see, conditional. God's Holy Spirit begins to speak to the people, to the Hebrew Jews, reminding them of the past when Moses and the people and what took place in Numbers chapter 12, 13, and 14. Because the Christian Jews, Hebrew Jews, that actually the Holy Spirit is speaking to here in the book of Hebrews, they had come to a place of unbelief. They were not behaving as Christians. You see? It says the Holy Spirit, today, if you will hear his voice. Verse 8, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day, the trial, in the wilderness. So he takes them back to their own past. Don't forget your grandparents. Don't forget your great-grandparents, your families in the wilderness, in your Jewish culture. What happened to them? They all died in the wilderness because they murmured and they complained and they had no faith in God. And yet God did miracles and wonders for them. Think of how many people today God has touched, God has blessed. And people, after being on fire for the Lord, we start becoming slothful. We don't pray anymore. We don't read anymore. We don't attend church sometimes. We had other things that begin to take over our lives. And it's no longer seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, but God becomes really second or third in my life, or maybe last in my life. And something that is not important, that is going to burn, becomes number one in my life. And yet the most important thing in our life should be who? Jesus. Jesus should be the most important thing in our lives. Why? Because He gave us the talents. He gave us the gifts. He's anointed us. He saved us. He paid with His own blood for our sins. And He forgives us for our sins. And He gives us heaven. Imagine that. Jesus Christ, the Eternal One, our Savior, our Lord. But the problem with man is what? The hardening of the heart. That's what He says. Verse 8, notice. That was her sin. Do not harden your hearts in unbelief. How? As in the rebellion, in the day of the trial that you had in the wilderness, 11-day journey turned out to be 40 years. So that God could get rid of all the people with unbelief and started with a new generation. A new generation, their children. Because they did not believe what God had said in His word. Verse 9. He says, where your fathers tested me and tried me and saw my works for 40 years. Notice that. He reminds them of their history. Just like when we read the Bible. We go to the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. We move through Joshua. We move through Judges, Ruth, Samuel, Kings, whatever it is. And we're going line upon line through the scriptures. What are we doing? We're learning. We're becoming responsible. Too much is given. Much more is required, you see. The more you sit in a teaching church and the more you hear the word of God, the more God is going to hold you responsible and liable for God's word. That's what He did to the people of God. Same thing for us. But notice that He said there, where your fathers tested me. They tested me. They didn't believe that I would provide for the manna, and I gave them manna. They didn't believe that I could give them water, and I gave them water. For 40 years, they never had to change their sandals. I let them walk in the same sandals, and they never changed their garments. I took care of them. I provided for them. And yet, they did not believe. Why? Because they had hardened hearts. May God help us. Not to have a hardened heart, to provoke God through unbelief with our hearts. Verse 10, notice God's reaction. Therefore, because of this, I want you to know that I was angry or grieved with that generation and said they always go astray in their hearts and they have not known my ways. Notice that. They have never known my ways. You see, it's very possible to sit in a church and hear Bible studies and to hear the Word of God and have a Bible and at the same time do what? To go astray and never ever to know God's ways. Especially when you're set in your ways. That's the problem. That will get in God's way. When you try to rule your life, when you try to do what you please, when you're not in submission to God, in full obedience to God and what He wants to do by bringing you and emptying you from yourself so you can be filled with Him, you see? And God took them through that wilderness to humble them, to break them. But instead of breaking, they became proud. They became hardened of heart. And they started murmuring and complaining against God. And God says, you know what? Enough is enough. I've had it. And for 40 years, until they came to the end of the wilderness, they all died because of unbelief. Verse 11, and so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Wow. They shall not enter my rest. Notice what he says here. Here, it's a reference now to the promised land in the Hebrew language. But then at the same time, shall not enter my rest. You have to understand that the promised land was the rest that God was going to give to them, taking them and defending them and working for them and watching them really worship the Lord as they would come to the promised land. But then at the same time, You know, God has a Sabbath rest that he gave to Israel back in Genesis chapter 2, verse 2. Remember, 6 days you work, on the seventh day, God rested, meant to rest. And then Israel rested in Canaan when they came into the promised land under the leadership of Joshua and Caleb, because they were the only two out of 12 spies that believed the promises of God. When they were sent out to actually look at the promised land, remember they came back with all kinds of grapes, and they came back and they reported, 10 of them said, man, it's dangerous, we should not go in, there's giants in the land. And Caleb and Joshua said, hey, we can take them, let's go. And what did God do? Joshua and Caleb were able to go into the other side because they were men of faith. The others were men of unbelief. They did not believe what God had said to them. They couldn't enter into God's rest. They died in the wilderness. May God help us to enter into his rest. You see? Why? Because in typology, in the Hebrew, Egypt becomes the type of the world. Egypt's the type of the world. The children of Israel were there for 430 years under what? In bondage to Pharaoh. Pharaoh's a type of who? Satan. Before we came to Christ, where did we live? In Egypt. In the world. In bondage to drugs, in bondage to alcohol, in bondage to so many things. And then when we actually left Egypt, they came to what? They came to the wilderness. No, they came to the actual Red Sea. And the Red Sea is when you come out of the world and you come to Christ, what do? You find yourself getting baptized in water. When they went through the Red Sea, they went through their baptism before they got to the wilderness. God baptized them. Just like we have been baptized. We don't sprinkle, we fully immerse people in water. Baptism doesn't save you. Baptism, Paul says in Romans chapter 6, it's what is the actual death of self. As you're coming into the water, you actually have a picture of death going down into the water in the grave and then coming out of the water, out of the grave with newness of life. Life of faith. Life of obedience. And when they came across the Red Sea into the wilderness area speak of what? It speaks of unbelief. It speaks of disobedience. It speaks of not obeying God's word. So they wandered for 40 years until they came to death. And then the others that obeyed. And under 20 years of age, when they went from the wilderness, from the mountains of Moab to the other side of the promised land, where did they go? They went across the Jordan River. And what's the Jordan River? It's a symbol and a type of the believers, what? Reckoning the old men to be dead. Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8. Before we can start walking by the Spirit of God. And the promised land is not heaven. Why? Because in the promised land there was giants. In heaven there are no giants. There are no battles. There were battles in the promised land. Beautiful, beautiful picture that God has given to us in the scriptures to understand our pilgrimage in the Lord. So that's why now here he says, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not all enter into my rest. Verse 12. Beware, brethren, speaking to the Hebrew Christian Jews, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief. There it is. You see, unbelief is a sin before God. Unbelief in what? In departing from the living God. Apostatizing. You know how many people have apostatized over the years in the church? Hundreds. Thousands that sit where you sit. That have left the church. Have left the relationship with God because they went back into the world and they thought the world was greater than becoming a Christian. How sad. Just like the children of Israel. It's very important that we understand that here is a warning from God as he's exhorting believers. Beware, brethren, lest there be any of you here tonight with an evil heart of unbelief. Why? Because unbelief is a sin. And unbelief will lead you to departure from the faith in Christ Jesus. To go back into the world like the pig that you wash and you give a bath and you actually dry him off, and the moment you loose him up, he goes back into the mud. Peter said that. Goes right back into the mud. How can we go back to the mud when we've come out of the mud? When we came out of that lifestyle that totally almost destroyed us. And God has been so good to us with his love and grace and mercy. And everything that he's given to us because he loves us so much that he gave us opportunity after opportunity, and even today he continues to do that. Our faith has to be filled deep within the Word of God. We have to study God's Word so that we can grow, we can develop, we can become mature. And we can use the sword. You know, if you actually have a sword and you don't know how to use a sword, what good is that to you? You know, of no value. But if you know how to use that sword and you're being attacked, you can do a lot of damage with a sword more than a gun if you know how to use it. You see? And the Word of God is so powerful. It's sharper than a two-edged sword, and it's quick, and it pierces, and it cuts. You see? That's what the Bible says. So it's really important, and I get so blessed seeing you here tonight studying God's Word. Because you're going to develop, you're going to grow, you're going to learn how to use the sword against Satan, against the enemy, against temptations that come into your life. Just like Moses, just like the children in the wilderness did not listen, may we listen to what God says in his Word. Look what else he says. Now the present act in verse 13. He says, but exhort one another daily. That's what I'm doing tonight. I'm exhorting you. Don't go back into the world. The world will kill you. The world has nothing to give to you. Nothing. God has given you everything. He's given you peace. He's given you his love. He's given you the assurance of eternal life. He's given you heaven when you die. Think about that. When you were in the world, what did you have? Well, you might have had a lot of money, but what does money do? It can be good or it can be evil. You see? You can't take it with you. Somebody else will spend it or misspend it for you. Or the government will take it. We have so much that God has given to each one of us. That's why he says, but exhort one another daily, what it is called, today. Today. Three times he'll use that word, today. Lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Notice that. People that abandon the Lord Jesus Christ because of deceitfulness and sin. People that think that God doesn't see and they start to do things in the darkness because there's no longer the light. And yet all you have to do when people say, well, how do I get rid of the darkness? Turn on the switch. The light will come on. And then where's the darkness? It disappears. It's gone. God has given us the light. We are children of the light, not of darkness. Notice that he said that, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Sin has a way of hardening our hearts. It's like when you burn yourself in the stove, the next day, couple of days, what happens to your thumb? It becomes like a callus, hardened. That's the word used here. You can pinch it, you can peel it, nothing happens. There's a lot of times people get hardened hearts because of sin. Has totally wiped them out. Verse 14. For we have become partakers of Christ. Notice conditional. If we hold to the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. You see? We abide in Jesus Christ every single day. Conditional here. Notice again the importance of what? Of maintaining, not turning back, expressing the condition of our final salvation in Jesus Christ when he comes or when we die. And we go to be with him. Why? Because salvation is the free gift of God. It's not of works as any man should boast. It's free through faith in Jesus Christ, not of works. Yes, when you come to Jesus Christ and you're obedient, and you're walking with the Lord, works become automatic. Why? Because they're part of the fruit of the Spirit, doing what's good in the presence of the Lord. But we're not working to be saved. We can't work. We are saved by faith in Jesus Christ, by trusting him, obeying him. You see? That's what he's trying to share here, unto the end. And then what does he say? Notice. He says, verse 15, while it is said today, second time, what it is called today, If, conditional again, if you will hear His voice, what voice? The voice of the Holy Spirit. Do not harden your heart as in the rebellion. Maybe there's someone here tonight that you've backslidden and your heart has become hardened in rebellion, and the Holy Spirit tonight is knocking on your door once again saying, return to me. Or maybe there's some of you here that are maybe a step away thinking about it, maybe already entangled and snared by Satan and sin, and you're on your way out. And here Paul says to us, what? Today, by the Holy Spirit, if you will hear His voice, open your ears. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit of God is saying to them today. If, he says, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. He takes you back to what? The rebellion with Moses in the wilderness. Look what happened to them. They all died in unbelief. They all died in unbelief. God judged them. For who, having heard, rebelled? Notice they were without excuse. They heard the word of God. They saw the miracles. They saw the wonders. And they still did not believe. Notice that. Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses, Joshua, Caleb, didn't die? They never provoked God. They were men of faith. They were able to go into the promised land. Caleb at 85 years old came and said to Joshua, Joshua, I'm old now, but I can still fight for the Lord. I know God fights for me. I'll take the land on that side and I'll fight for it. At 85 years old, he was still walking with God and still powerful with God. Caleb and Joshua, may God give us that power too. Just like they did, who came out of Egypt and led by Moses, verse 17. And now with whom was he angry for 40 years? Notice, 40 is the number of what? Judgment. The number of judgment. Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? He tells you. Notice that. They died. 11-day journey turned out to be 40 years in what? In the wilderness. And they all died in the wilderness. They never saw the promised land. Never were able to walk in the Holy Spirit. Never to have a life of obedience, but disobeyed God. And they never, never saw what God had for them. Verse 18, and to whom did he swear that they would not enter into his rest, but to those, here's the key, to those who did not obey. Wow. The disobedient will not see the promised land. It was what? Unbelief. Unbelief is a sin before God. Every sin, the Bible says, will be forgiven. Jesus said, I will forgive every sin except one sin. In Matthew chapter 12, in verse 30 and on, he says, speaking to the Pharisees, because they were saying that Jesus was the devil, and the power of the devil, he was doing, creating all those miracles and wonders. And Jesus says, you better be careful because you're getting close to crossing the line. He says, all manner of sin will be forgiven unto men except the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. And that is what? And that is when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, to come to him, and a person says no once, he says no twice, he says no three times. There is a time, there is a place when the Holy Spirit says no more anything to you. But what happens? You've actually come to the place where you've committed the unpardonable sin, and that's the only sin that is not forgiven in this world and the world to come. All manner of sins forgiven. Rejecting Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. You see, are there any people like that here tonight? I don't think so, because you wouldn't be here like that. People that have committed the unpardonable sin are not in churches. People that go to church, people that are seekers, are looking for opportunity to receive God's love and grace and mercy. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here, I wouldn't be here. So it's really important that we understand what he says. Watch what he says. Verse 19. He says, so we see that they could not enter in. Why? Because of unbelief. No faith. Notice that. No faith. Every sin will forgive, and God said, except the sin against what? The Holy Spirit. To reject Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior is to actually condemn yourself and to damn yourself to hell. I pray that God's Holy Spirit will speak to our hearts and that we can learn as we move through Hebrews in our own personal lives so that we can grow and develop and become obedient to the Word of God completely and fully. Father, we are so thankful for your love and grace and mercies tonight. And Lord God, we pray by the power of your Holy Spirit that you would continue to move in us and to work through us, Father. As next week, Father, we continue our study in chapter 4. And as we look at the rest of the chapter, Father, the rest of the story, Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would continue to move in us, to work through us in every side of our lives, Jesus. Jesus, how I thank you so much for this beautiful, wonderful people, Lord. Father, those watching and hearing through the internet, Lord, bless them and anoint them. And Lord, if there be anyone with us tonight that doesn't really know you, Jesus, you know, the Lord gives us opportunity in every service, every day, no matter whether we're in church or not. But maybe there's someone here that came tonight that you've never really been born again of the Holy Spirit. You've never really truly received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And you know what? Tonight God wants to give you that opportunity of being convicted by the Holy Spirit and then responding by repenting of your sins and then by faith receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and then being filled with the Holy Spirit and getting yourself written in the book of life, your name. Heaven. If there's anybody here tonight, male, female, old, young, I don't care who you are. Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father which is in heaven. But if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father which is in heaven. Nobody is forced to do anything. If you come, you come on your own because you're in need of Jesus Christ in your life. You want an eternal life. You want to go to heaven. If you want to do that, I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet, walk out onto the aisle, and come up here and stand in the front, and I want to pray for you right here. Those of you that have come, I want you to pray with me this prayer and ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart personally. He's going to cleanse you. He's going to wash you. He's going to save you. He's going to write your name in the book of life, and he's going to give you joy and peace tonight, okay? Pray with me this prayer. Repeat after me. Dear Jesus, please forgive me, Lord. For all my sins, I confess to you that I have sinned against you. I ask you to cleanse me, wash me by your blood, and I receive you by faith as my Lord and my Savior. Fill me with your Holy Spirit now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're going to give you a Bible, some literature, you guys. See that guy right over there? Turn around and go right over there. Cool. That's neat. All right.